What is going on, guys? Welcome to episode 74 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we are all presented by TalkLoudRadio.com. Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once here. We're live every Tuesday and Friday night right here on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. And we're streaming in the Going for Two app. What I was trying to do in the background, which is why I was stumbling over my words, was trying to call Tim back because we lost Tim right there in the middle of the intro there. So, Tim, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. Glad we could reconnect. Wouldn't be a show without a little technical difficulty.
Yeah, I saw your text as soon as I started up the video. I said, oh, shit, it happened again. I'm not there. I'm, like, trying to add you. I'm trying to share the group and trying to do my monologue. It was a mess.
Yeah, try to pull back the curtain a little bit here. You know, we were trying to connect through Skype, and my Skype just crashed. So hopefully we can get through the pod without my Skype crashing again.
All right, good stuff. All right, Gerson, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Overall, life is good. Just trying to sweat out this play, and then for the big main event, the Jazz versus the Warriors tonight. See Rudy put fucking Draymond Green in his place.
There you go, donkey boy.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, you mentioned the big slate. I think what's there 11 games tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty big slate there. So we're gonna try to fly through some of these. Some of these games has no interest in DFS, so we'll just kind of touch on them briefly if there's any value plays in there. We'll go ahead and get it kicked off here with the Brooklyn Nets going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tim, you got this game. What you see in this game? Anything you like in this game?
Yeah, well, Garrison knows the other night I went all in on Larry Nance. Obviously, a lot of people did because his price went way up, but I still think he's playable. He's still cheaper than Kevin Love at, I think, $6,700, so he's still in consideration for me. I think that's going to be an interesting situation to monitor. I think that their prices are eventually going to overlap. But while he's still cheaper, I'm going to go ahead and take Larry Nance Jr. That was the first one that stuck out to me. And then on the other side on Brooklyn, man, it's pretty much just two guys, and then everybody else is kind of a crapshoot. So I think you got to consider D'Angelo Russell. He's just absolutely killing it this year. He's consistently putting up 40-plus fantasy points with the potential for 60. So 8,500, I like him. And Garrison's boy, Jared Allen, he's only 5,000. You know, obviously, Tristan Thompson got Kardashian, so he's out. So he's going to have a matchup against probably, you know, Larry Nance Jr. or, you know, maybe some Kevin Love. And either way, I think that works out for him. So those are the first three guys I looked at in this game.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You mentioned Kevin Love being more expensive than Larry Nance. On FanDuel, it's exactly the opposite. Larry Nance is $7,600, and Kevin Love is still way down there at $5,200, which pretty much makes him a value play. I love both those calls there, but I think on FanDuel, I'm going Kevin Love over Larry Nance just because of the price difference. It's over $2,000 difference. It's pretty crazy. All right, Gerson.
DraftKings priced him up last week, too. He was still like $7,500, so they just refused to drop the price on Kevin Love.
All right, good stuff. All right, Gerson, talk about the Brooklyn-Cleveland game a little bit, and then touch on the Bucks and Pacers game.
Yeah, I mean, overall, that game, it's not. It's a 221 over-under. Caris LeVert kind of interests me. He's coming back, or he's been back the last two games, and he's a player that I would consider a value player on FanDuel. He's 5,200. Mm-hmm. Tim pretty much touched on all the other guys, but he's probably a value player for me. Moving on to the next game, Milwaukee versus Indiana, right? Yeah, 218 over under. I mean, it's look close, 3.5. I mean, not too bad. And it's kind of weird that this game is close because I would expect Milwaukee to blow them out, to be honest. I don't really consider Indiana a good team, but they have been doing good. They just keep winning. And believe it or not, they're actually a top four team in the East. So it's kind of weird to think Indiana is actually hanging in there. But I think Philadelphia is about to make a run, so they're going to crawl into that fourth place and they'll fall to fifth. Overall, I mean, Tyreek Evans, he's 3,800, but I don't know if I can trust him. I think the player I like is Bojan Bogdanovic at 5,500, and I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is kind of interests me too. So other than those guys, I'm not really looking to target too many of the other guys. I don't mind Darren Collison. people, you know, like, this is an 11-game slate, so, like, we're not going to name every player on each game. So if you guys only hear us saying one or two, three plays, it's because eventually that play will come out to be, like, almost 30 players we're recommending for the whole 11-game slate, you know.
Let's just recommend everybody from every game. Play all of them.
Yeah, just play all the dudes.
Play all the dudes.
So, I mean, to me, it's only Bojan Bogdanovic and then Giannis Antetokounmpo in this game. I think they're both cash game viable too. I mean, 5,500 for Bojan Bogdanovic. He's been doing pretty well lately too.
Any interest in Miles Turner from Indiana? He's been playing really well lately.
Yep.
Miles Turner, let's see. Yeah, I don't mind him. The matchup is there. I mean, it's just Brook Lopez is not really someone I fear on defense, and you should never put defense and Brook Lopez together. Maybe Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez doesn't have bad defense, but Brook Lopez, you know who won the defense versus offense in that matchup. Yes. So,
Robin's just crazy. Like, he just plays, you know, that's his defense. It's just, you never know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
like beat up mascot. I love those videos. If you've never seen the video of Robin Lopez beating the crap out of mascot, you need to look at it. It's so freaking funny. But those are the guys I'm interested in this game. No one else, really.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on all those calls as well. There's one guy that I want to talk about on that first game. Tim, I'll ask you about him because he's been a popular value play, especially on FanDuel, but his price has come up a little bit. Any interest at all in Jordan Clarkson over there? I know he's had a couple games where he's been pretty good, but his price now seems to be a little bit higher on FanDuel. What about over on DraftKings?
Yeah, I think he's still possible on DraftKings. I mean, he's a guy that they like to bring in, you know, when they're kind of when the game's kind of out of hand and just let him shoot. But I think in this game, I don't, you know, he's been getting a good amount of minutes too, like 26 minutes a game, mostly playing. Yeah, I think he's an interesting play. He's not probably my favorite play in that range, but 5,300, I think he's still in play.
Yeah, that's a pretty good price over on DraftKings. On FanDuel, he's jumped up now to 6,200. I played him a few nights ago. I think he was 4,200. So he's come up $2,000 in a few nights because I think he's had a couple games now of 30-plus. So he was someone that I was looking at until I noticed his price. We'll go ahead and stay with you, Tim, and we'll go to the Philly and New York game that Gersten mentioned earlier, that the Sixers are going to make a move. This would be a good place to start here in New York. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, well, the first thing I noticed is that Philly is obviously playing tonight, so they're going to be on a back-to-back. They're playing against the Celtics. They're winning right now from what I can see in the third quarter. So anytime you see that, then I always want to keep an eye on it. But there is an over-under posted on this game. It's 222, or at least that's what I have it at. So it looks like they're thinking, you know, Philly wins by almost 10 points. So they're thinking everybody's going to play. Obviously, we've seen after the trade that I think that the 76ers are, you know, play really well. At least have looked like they're playing well together. But nobody's really dominating. They're very spread out. Obviously, that may change the more they play together. Maybe they're just trying to find their role a little bit, but there's nobody that really sticks out to me in terms of, like, that's the guy you got to play right now.
Agreed.
So, now, one thing I kind of want to ask you guys is that first thing I noticed when I was looking at the prices for these two teams is that pretty much all of the Knicks' prices have just dropped. Like, I know that they're losing a ton of games, but, like, do people have no confidence that these guys can score? Because, like, DeAndre Jordan, he's still playing almost 28 minutes a game. I don't know if this is the same on FanDuel, but his price came way down. And then the other one that interests me is this dude, Kadeem Allen. The last two games, he's played 28 and 32 minutes coming off the bench as, like, a point guard, shooting guard. Yeah. So what's that, G?
Yeah, I like Kadeem Allen a lot. I mean, I think he's going to be pretty good GPP value play, so that's a good call right there.
Yeah, in the last couple of games, they've been giving Super Mario, your boy, the start, but it looks like Kadeem Allen's been doing more work off the bench. So one of the things I saw is he definitely looks like a potential value play. So that's kind of it on that. I think if we get some more news on if somebody's not going to play for Philly, I might consider them. But the only thing we always talk about is play big guys against Philly. So for me, it's pretty much Embiid and then maybe a value.
Yep. Yeah, I love that call on Kadeem Allen, actually. I think he's had a couple games on FanDuel now where he's had 30-plus points. He's only 4,000 on FanDuel, so just a little bit above minimum price. And you're right. I mean, the Knicks prices are all pretty low. I mean, on FanDuel, the top four guys are all from Philly as far as price point goes. Mm-hmm. The fifth guy there, of course, is DSJ. You know, he's at 7,200. But, yeah, I think that the Knicks prices give you some good value there. and they're not terribly deep. So, you know, these guys, even if they get blown out, a lot of them will continue to play, especially those younger guys, because they want to see what they can do, what they got for next year. So, yeah, I love all those calls for sure. All right, Gerson, we'll go to you with the next game here. We got Detroit at Boston. Of course, Boston is playing tonight, so they're also on a back-to-back. What do you see in this game?
On the thing with Nick, on the Knicks, though, reason I wouldn't play Dennis Smith Jr., to be honest, not in this slate.
Yeah, but I wasn't saying to play him. I was just saying price point-wise, he was the fifth highest.
I'm sorry, you cut out for a second. Was it?
I said I wasn't suggesting that you play him. I was just saying he was the fifth highest as price, far as price point. The top four were all Sixers.
No, no, not. I'm going off Tim. Like where Tim was, he asked what was going on. I'm just saying that like right now the Knicks, their rotation is so deep that they're just going like off all their guys. So that's why their prices are so down. That like nobody wants to play them, but the FanDuel is just trying to make you guess who they're gonna play or flip DraftKings.
You know? Right.
So the next game we have is Detroit versus Boston. There's not an over-under on this game, so I'm guessing that's the Kyrie Irving injury.
Yep.
And overall, I'm not too interested in this game. I mean, I can see everybody – like, I don't know how Boston's doing right now. And it's really pissing me off because last time I checked, Jaylen Brown had, like, 3 fucking points. So yeah. I kind of want to kill him right now. Well, not kill him, actually. So
he still has 3 points.
Oh, my God. So, like, right now, Boston Celtics value is almost, like, frustrating. They're, like, fine. Because and the last couple times I tried to play them, I just can't get them right. I don't know what it is. I just can't get them right. I don't really know. If Irvin's out, then obviously Rozier is going to be a value if he's like 60-something hundred. But it looks like he's what?
7,200. Yeah, he's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I don't know if I really want to touch that. Overall, in this whole game, I'm not really interested in much, to be honest. If anything, I probably fade this whole game. I mean, you can play. I mean, you don't want to play Andre Drummond versus Horford. Horford has good defense. You know, overall, Boston has a pretty good, solid defense. You're not going to play guys like Kennard or, you know, I don't even know who their starting lineup is now. I mean, Griffin, Drummond, what's his name? Reggie Jackson, I think.
Yep.
I mean, I guess Reggie Jackson's okay, but I'm not going to go there. Like, overall, this game, almost a complete fade for me.
I think the only guy I'm interested in, and I wrote him in my article tonight because he played tonight and I did a Fantasy Pros article. And something that I found kind of interesting, because you think Kyrie Irving's out. Okay, Terry Rozier is going to get the highest usage bump. He might have the highest overall usage, this and that. But it's actually Marcus Morris. He has the highest overall usage on the team. He has the highest increase in usage when Kyrie Irving's out. And he averages the highest increase in points when Kyrie Irving's out. And Marcus Morris, last I checked, was doing pretty well in tonight's game. He's only 5,100 tomorrow, so he's the one guy I think that I'd play in this game is Marcus Morris, especially if they you know, he does finish up a good game tonight. So he's the only one I like in that game.
Yeah, that's definitely a good call. I mean, like I said, I haven't been able to get the values right. So if Jeff is recommending this, I'm telling you guys, go play it.
Yeah, I definitely missed on Jaylen Brown tonight too. I got him in my lineups as well. So I kind of hit one and missed one. So. All right, Tim, let's go to you. We got, let's see, what's the next game? Oh, next game is actually my game. It's, all right, so I took the Washington-Toronto game. Tim said I took the good game because it's the highest over-under on the slate, at least right now, with the numbers that we have from Vegas. It's, what, 236.5 or 232.5, I think, right now. Toronto's a 10-point favorite, so it's going to be possibly a blowout. But this high-paced game, I mean, the Wizards play a very high pace, so all the Toronto players get a slight bump in usage and overall because they are, you know, it's a higher-paced game for them. So I don't know if I'm playing like guys like Kawhi Leonard. He's a little bit too expensive for me. But Serge Ibaka is one guy I was looking at. He's actually had a couple really good games just recently. We thought his value might go down when they signed Marc Gasol. He's actually played better since they got Marc Gasol. He has 37 and 42 in his last two games, so he's someone I like at 6,900. Looking down at the value range, everyone got burned the other night by Jabari Parker. You know, he was like 96% owned, I think, in cash. It was like ridiculous that he puts up a dud.
Both of the values, Randall and him, and, like everybody owned him, and they both shit the bed.
Yep. So I'm going with my post-hype sleepers. You know, I'm going to be back on Jabari Parker. His price didn't go up. As you mentioned, also, Chasen Randall was another one. If he gets to start again, if Satoransky's out, I may go back to both those guys. As sort of they'll be lower owned this time, and their history says they should have a good game. They just had they both had bad games this past time. So those are two guys that I like as well. So that's pretty much it. I don't know if I want to go with Bradley Beal. I mean, he's always sort of there, you know, in the top as far as scoring, but I don't know. I live in Washington, D.C., and I see the bad Bradley Beal way too many times that, you know, I kind of get nervous playing him at that price point at 9,700. But he's been really good, so in tournaments I could see it. Toronto's a pretty good defensive team, though, and I imagine that Kawhi Leonard will see a lot of Bradley Beal, so I probably could slow him down just a little bit. Other than that, I don't see anything else that I really love on here. Obviously, we talked about Marc Gasol on the last podcast and how getting him traded to the Raptors kind of hurts his value. I don't think his price point has come down to the point that I want to play him just yet. He's still $7,000. I want him to get below, you know, get down to the low, you know, the low sevens or, I mean, sorry, the low sixes or maybe even down to like 5,900 before I want to play him. So that's it for that game. Tim, we'll go back to you now. We got the Houston and Minnesota game, which also should be a pretty good high-scoring game as well. What you got for this Houston-Minnesota game?
Well, before we move on real quick, man, I got to talk about your game because, like you said, we had two trade updates in that game. One was Marc Gasol, who looks to be coming off the bench right now, and then the other one is Bobby Portis. And I didn't want to skip over him without mentioning him. Y'all know I love Tortilla. I always want to talk about him when we get a shot. So, anyway, man, I think that he kind of resumed his same role that he kind of had in Chicago toward the beginning. We saw some of it last year, playing like 26 to 28 minutes off the bench for Washington. If he's going to keep that role up, you know, I don't know what his price is on FanDuel, but as long as he's going to be around 6K on DraftKings, and I think he's still got some upside. So I don't know if they're going to adjust that to $1,000 after last week. It's kind of in that risky range, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tortilla went out and dropped another 40-point game. So that was the other only other name I had written down here.
Yeah, that's a good call, and I kind of overlooked him a little bit because he's in that mid-tier, and I just skipped over all the mid-tier guys that went straight down to value, but he's 6,500 over on FanDuel, so a little bit more expensive, but still viable.
Yeah. So anyway, when we get to Houston and Minnesota, I think we always talk about, you know, slate decisions, things you have to think about right when you open a slate, and on an 11-game slate like that, you kind of have to decide, okay, who am I going to pay up for at right when you look at the slate? And so the first thing I wrote down here is, can you fade Harden? And the reason I wrote that is because not only has he just been absolutely balling lately, but I don't think that, you know, Garrison mentioned that Giannis is a play, and I definitely think he's in play. But I think that my first instinct is that you got to have Harden, you know? And I know that he's not as effective, or people say he's not when he has Chris Paul back and things like that, but he's still consistently scoring 60 points. And I think that this, you know, I don't think that there's an over-under on this game, which right now does have me a little concerned. But, I mean, Harden is Harden, man. I think you can almost lock him in for 30-plus points and, you know, pushing 60. So he's up to 11.8 on DraftKings. I don't know what his price is on FanDuel, but I still think that he can more than pay off value.
Does his shoulder worry you at all? I mean, I saw the last game, it looked like he was shooting pretty bad.
Yeah. You know what? I think
he got 30 points, but he took a lot of fucking shots.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I just think a little bit was that, like, Dallas versus Houston thing. They always kind of bang on each other when they play. So unless we get news that he's not 100%, I'm definitely all on, you know, I'm in on him right now. But, yeah, it's definitely a situation to monitor. Other than that, Rivers is out, so I think that it makes Chris Paul a little bit more interesting. I don't know if you can really pair him with Harden, but I think if you were going to consider fading Harden, Chris Paul might be an interesting pivot there. Mostly they've been running small ball a lot with Kendrick Free. I don't really like him. I don't, you know, he's going to consistently give you 30 points, but that's not going to hit value. I think it does make Carl Anthony Towns a little bit more interesting. I don't know if he heard us talking shit on the podcast, but he's been playing a little bit better lately. So I don't know if he can keep that up, but, you know, against this small ball lineup for Houston, he might be able to do it. And then the only other note I had was both Wiggins and Rhodes are questionable for the game. Obviously, if they don't play, that's probably why there's no over-under right now. If they don't play, it obviously opens up a ton of value, but it makes it harder to play some of those Houston guys. The one guy I wrote down possible value play is Dario Saric.
I was going to ask about him. I was going to ask about him.
Yeah, he was a guy I used to play a lot when he played for Philly, but he kind of had trouble finding his role in Minnesota. But I think that they finally kind of mastered that he can be that mid-20-minute kind of guy off the bench. So if he's going to get even more usage, if either one of those guys are out, I definitely like him as a value play. And that's pretty much what I got.
I didn't catch his last game. But is there a reason why he got 33 minutes in the last game? Was it an overtime or was somebody hurt?
Wigan was out. If Wigan's out, and the other thing was, is like I think Rhodes was out too, right?
Yeah, I believe he was. I saw that he was out. I can check to make sure, but
no, it was Tyus Jones. My bad.
Tyus, right? Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, what's your opinion on Teague, Jeff Teague? Because he comes up to a pretty good value for me. I mean, on FanDuel, I mean, Teague is 6,100, and in the last game, he dropped 40 FanDuel points. So I think he's a cash game GPP play for me. If of course, Wigan is out right now, I don't even know what his latest is. And that's the thing. I mean, when Teague came back, he just takes shots, man. He gets all around rebound and assist. But if he's 6,100
on FanDuel, yep.
I mean, that's something I'm probably looking at, especially in this game. Houston, that's a high-paced game.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Wiggins and Rose both don't play, I could see, like, Towns, Teague, and Saric.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could probably play any of those three guys.
Yep, agreed 100%. Gers, any thoughts, final thoughts on this game besides what you just said?
No, that's it. I mean, obviously you want to play Towns. I mean, the Rockets don't have any defense down low right now.
No, they don't.
Clint Capella's out. Dude, their best defensive player down low is James Harden. I don't know if you guys know this, but James Harden is actually a top 20 defensive player this year. Like, his defensive rating is, like, up there. And I was so shocked when I found that out. I was like, what is happening here? But, like, obviously you heard – I mean, he either heard or saw all the YouTube videos of us making fun of him. But he's doing better.
Doing better now.
But, yeah, this game's definitely a game you want to target.
Definitely. Speaking of James Harden, I made a joke on Twitter earlier. I don't know if y'all saw this, but did y'all see the Bradley Beal travel that wasn't called?
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Well, the refs came out and said that because he lost the ball and he was able to take two more steps. I was like, don't let Harden see this because he's going to be losing the ball on every drive and taking four steps.
Yeah, because we all know he does the most unassisted shot, too.
Yeah.
So, like, if he's willing to pass it himself, he will. And then
he will. Dribble. Most definitely. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll tackle the last couple of games that we have on this slate. So just hang tight real quick, guys. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
Genie pouring from the sky, let's get rich. What? The GK finds the sugar dimes, can't quit. What?
Now, all right, guys, welcome back. I'm here as always with Gerson and Tim, and we are talking the Wednesday NBA slate. It'll be the 13th tomorrow. First and foremost, I want to thank StatRoute, our sponsor. They have a lot of advanced stats for both NFL and NBA. If you use my promo code G42MBA, so that's G42MBA, you save 50% off a subscription there, so definitely a great value. It's an awesome tool I've used it a lot for NFL. I use it for my articles all the time to find interesting stats and things that I didn't really know. So check that out. Again, statroute.com. And as always, guys, after the podcast is done, I will post this to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, etc., all your podcast networks, and streaming, of course, in the Going For Two app. All right, let's get to the next game on the slate. It's the Memphis Grizzlies and the Chicago Bulls. Gerson, what you got?
Yay. No, actually, like we were talking before the podcast, we were going to totally ignore this game, but then I realized there was value on this game. There's some value. I mean, I still like Otto Porter at his price, 7,100. I mean, he's done pretty well since joining this team, and I think the more comfortable he gets with this team, the more points he's going to produce. I definitely like him. Chris Dunn, he's questionable, so you're going to have to keep an eye out for that. He has a bruised ass, so... and then Jonah Bonds Jr., I was so close to playing him today, and he went off for 34 points. I don't know what he finished off with, because I was debating, all right, when they said that he was going to be active, I was like, he's going to be lowly owned. He's only 5,200, you know. He's going to get minutes because, you know, they traded away
Marcus half of their team. Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus O, Jermichael Green, all these other guys. And Conley was out. So I was like, maybe Valanciunas will get points, you know? And he did. I think he's going to be a great value at 5,200 tomorrow. He's going to be one of my top values for center. Another player I like is Lauri Markkanen. He is priced up a little high, so he's just a GPP play for me. I used to like Ivan Rabb, but his price has gone way too high, 6,500. I don't think I really want to pay up for that. Other than those guys, I mean, you can play Zach LaVine, but he's 8,000. He's more of a GPP play for me. But, like, those guys, Porter, Jonah Valanciunas, and I wish Chris Dunn played, because this is a Chris Dunn game. I mean, like, he always, against shitty teams, he does great. I don't know how, but he just does great.
What about tonight's value that we had, the lone right with Mike Conley, if he misses another game?
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. If Mike Conley's out, DeLon Wright, he was excellent today. I don't know what his total point is right now, but I know he was 4,200, I believe. And
yep.
Let me see.
Avery Bradley's the one balling right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Holy shit, he has 42 points.
But is that Wright or Bradley? Who has 42? Wright or Bradley?
Bradley.
Well, wow. Maybe we need to look at that guy. He's the 3,600 tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be the value.
You're ready here first.
Yeah, that's going to be the value player today. I mean, DeLon Wright, I mean, he has 24 points as of right now. So, I mean, how much is he tomorrow?
He's 46, so he went up $100 from today, I think. Or maybe he was 44.
Yeah, I mean, if he's out, then yeah. But, like, we just looked at, I mean, it looks like Bradley was the biggest benefactor of all this, so... I mean, I don't mind those guys, but this game's just full of value. No real big play, but I think Jonah's going to be one of my favorite players along with Otto Porter.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add to that. I think the lone right and Bradley, surprisingly, I wouldn't have even thought about that if Tim hadn't mentioned him just now. All right, so let's go to your game, Tim. You got Miami at Dallas. Of course, you live in Dallas or live near Dallas, that you talk about these guys every time. So what's going on in Dallas?
Yeah, man. Well, I can tell you this game has special significance here locally because it's going to be one of the last meetings, and I think possibly the last meeting at Dallas between Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. Mm. Obviously, these guys squared off in 2006 and again in 2011. And I think that, you know, Dirk is obviously, he's looking much older, obviously. He's playing maybe 10 minutes a game, so he's not in play. But I think, I said it last time, I'm going to say it again, I think Dwayne Wade could be a value play here. This game only has a 207 over-under, so it's not really somebody that I'm really looking to stack. I honestly only wrote down three names that I thought were in play. Luka, just because he's consistently giving you 40-plus points with that potential for 60. Tim Hardaway Jr., who I feel like has been getting more involved in the offense lately, and he's only, I think, like 5,000 or so on DraftKings. And then Dwayne Wade, I think he's 4,800 as more of a value kind of plug and play if you need somebody in that range.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like all those calls. Deion Waiter is someone that I kind of looked at a little bit, but he kind of burned me last night against Denver. I had him in my lineup after putting up 36 points against the Warriors. He burned me last night and only put up 22, so I probably won't touch Waiters in that game, especially with that low over-under, and the game will probably be kind of ugly. So yeah,
I know he burned Garrison the other night. I think Garrison, that was his boy. He got like 4 points or something.
Yeah, it was another pretty terrible.
All right. Nah, Jaylen Brown is coming on my shit list right next to him. So.
Gerson, let's stay with you. Let's go with Kings in the Denver Nuggets. What you got?
Thank you. A good game.
I'm starting to believe that I'm going to have Dwayne Wade in my lineup every single time he's active, because it looks like he just wants to like give it his all, and he's like, all right, I'm going to the Bahamas. Peace out, you know. But if they make the playoff, that sucks for him. But I got it. So in this game, obviously Nikola Jokic is the top play. He's $10,900. Not a bad price for him. He can get triple doubles, as we know.
He burned me last night, man. He burned me last night.
Did he do that bad?
He had 27 at the half. I'm like, all right, he can get probably 50. He ended with 34. I was like, how the hell you get 7 points after the half and you had 27 in the first half? Oh, he killed me.
Oh, it can't be worse than one time. Karl Anthony Towns had 35 points in one half, right? And then the rest of the game, he had 1.2. I'm like, what? But anyways, overall, I think this game, I'm really going to target. I had a list right here. Hold on, let me get it for you guys. There's some value plays I like in this game. Jamal Murray at 7,000 in this game, in high-paced game against Sacramento. Really like him a lot. Will Barton, I'm going to have him. But I think those are two really good value, 5,900 and 7,000, along with Jokic. I've been talking up Marvin Bagley for like the last 3 weeks, and this guy just continuously keeps doing pretty well. I don't know. Hold on, his price is $6,500, right?
Yeah, $6,500. Coming off a 47-point game.
Yeah, so like obviously, jump on the train before it takes off. That's what they always say, and I've been riding this train, and it looks like it's taking off. So gonna keep riding it. I like to say that the Nuggets are better against defending the outside area, or what do you call it, the perimeter.
Yes.
And then the inside post, I think Millsap and those guys allow more points than the outside. And they're pretty good defensively, though, the whole Denver Nuggets team.
Yep.
That's the way they've been playing this year. But there's a reason. I mean, this game is a 230 over-under right now. I mean, they had the Nuggets winning by eight. But overall, I mean, I'm going to target De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, Barton, Jokic, and Marvin Bagley. I don't mind Buddy Hield, but he's not my kind of like player that I like to play, because I feel like Buddy Hield to me either goes off or it gets you like half value. But
there's one more guy I wanted to ask you about, and he always flies under the radar because he plays, you know, basically behind Jokic. But Mason Plumlee has got four straight games of 30 plus. He's only $6,000. He's getting 30 plus minutes a game. I kind of like him as well. What do you think of Mason Plumlee?
Is Millsap going to be out? Because if Millsap is out, then I think that was the reason why he'd done pretty well lately. I think Millsap has been out a couple games.
Yep, I think you're right.
I don't know. I don't know if that could be the reason, but I know he'd been injured, Millsap. Like, and on an 11-game slate to me, I don't know if I really want to play Mason Plumlee at 6,000. And he's a center position, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a center. So, yeah, you have one position, basically.
Yeah, you have one position. I mean, on DraftKings, I can see it, but on FanDuel, yeah, sure, I'll take him. But you better be running, like, 10 multiple lineups or 20 or 150, you know?
Yeah, I'm not locking him in. And Millsap did play the last game. He didn't play the three previous to that.
Okay, yeah. But overall, I mean, like I said, this rotation of the Nuggets is really hard to predict all around. So I like to play the safe guys. Usually Murray, Jokic, Barton always starts and always gets his minutes too. But like when you look like players, secondary players like Gary Harris, Plumlee, Millsap, I can't remember those other guys, Malik Beasley, Monte Morris. I mean, there was one night where Malik Beasley went off for like, it was against the Houston Rockets. He went off for like 45 points, and like, I'm like, what the, you know?
And I thought just it was a quick note there. Gary Harris is not going to play. So I do expect that Malik Beasley will see a little bit more run than normal.
Okay. So, if he's out, then Malik Beasley at 5,400, I can't say that, is probably an intriguing play. But overall, I mean, like I said, you better be running GPP rosters. But the only guy that I think is a cash game player in this whole game and safe is Jokic. All the other guys are basically GPP. This is a GPP game right here. So
yeah, they'll be low. This is an
11-game play, guys, so yep, you got to pick your spots.
All right, Tim, talk about that game a little bit if you want to, and then talk about the game that's probably going to be the highest paced and least defense played with the Suns and the Clippers.
Yeah, my only note is what Garrison said, basically. I mean, Jokic is probably my favorite play, one of my favorite plays on the slate, definitely my favorite play in the game. He's 10,100, and my note here is that I call it when splits collide, because Jokic has some of the best home-road splits, and then Willie Cauley-Stein has some of the worst home-road splits. So I'm not saying to play him based on that. It's obviously a good matchup for him defensively and a number of other things, high over-under at over 230 points. But I think that this is, I don't want to say a lock, but it's pretty close to a lock for 60 points for Jokic for me. So I think when you're going to be able to get that at 10,100, so when you're talking about a stud, that's pretty rare to say. I would honestly be shocked if he gets less than 50 DraftKings points here. So I'm just going to let y'all know that's kind of my lock of the slate.
All right.
Nice, nice.
All right.
And then on to the other game. Sorry about that, Jeff.
No, you're good.
Yeah. So the first thing I noticed on this Phoenix and Clipper game, as you said, neither team really plays defense, and it's a matchup of two guys who have never seen a shot they didn't want to take, and that was Lou Williams and Derrick Rose. Like, they like the same guy in a lot of ways. Like, is that guy wide open? Is he wide open? Is he wide open? No. Okay, might as well shoot the ball. Like, that's, I just feel like that's how they play, man. And whenever you're talking about two guys that are going to face off and put up like guaranteed 20 shots apiece, then I think that they're in play. I don't think that I will probably have either of them. But one thing I found interesting when I was looking through the Clippers rotation is that like their best players are the ones that come off the bench, like Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. So like they made these trades and they're like, okay, we're going to start basically two decent players and three scrubs so that we can bring in our better players off the bench. So that, if that's working for them, go for it. But
That's how they make comebacks.
Exactly right. So I don't think that I want to play any of the starters for the Clippers. The only two guys I would even consider playing are Harrell and Williams off the bench. So those two, and then Booker, as far as I know, really the only ones I think are worth considering. I can never get Suns value right. Like last week, Booker didn't play, so I played Josh Jackson. But other than that, like, I can never seem to get these guys right. Who's going to have a good game? So I'm probably not going to stay away from anybody else on this team.
Yeah, I think I agree with there. The Suns are hard to figure out. I believe I played Oubre the other night, and he had like 13 points after putting up like 250 spots in a row or something. It was pretty ridiculous.
I liked him a lot when his price was like, 4,000, low 5,000, but now he's up to like 6,000 on DraftKings. And it's like, at that point, man, I need 30 points out of you. So if I have to worry about you putting up a 15, you're not making your way in my lineup.
Yep, exactly. All right, Gerson, talk about that game a little bit and then take us home with the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers.
Hey, sorry, I got a little distracted, but did you mention Tyler Johnson at all?
I didn't know, actually. Go for it.
So Tyler Johnson at 4,500 is probably going to be a popular play tomorrow, but I don't.
He is questionable, but I think he's probably going to play.
Yeah, if he plays, I mean, actually, yeah, I didn't see the questionable. My bad. Never mind. I'm off him. But I think DeAndre.
Yeah, he rolled his ankle, by the way.
What a vagina. no, I'm just kidding. I know what leg injuries feel like. I've been dealing with them lately, but. I think DeAndre Ayton's the best player in this game, and he's actually probably my third best value of the whole slate. I think he's going to crush in this spot. I mean, overall, the matchup, I mean, it's great. I mean, Clippers are the worst against center, so, I mean, they allow 63.3 points per game for center. So, I mean, I'm not saying DeAndre Ayton's going to get 63 points, but if he gets you 50, 45, then that'd be a great value, but... Again, there's a lot of centers on this slate. There's Jokic. There's, we're talking a lot of centers. So you're going to have to rotate some of these players out and figure out who you want the most. But I think Ayton's a pretty good cash game and GPP play for this game.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. Go ahead and talk about the Warriors and Blazers now.
Well, the Warriors are going to get blown out by the Jazz tonight. No, I'm kidding. Okay, hold on 1 second. Obviously, we've seen this game many, many times, 235 over under. This is going to be a high-paced game. And if you guys know anything, you always want to play Damian Lillard versus the Golden State Warriors. He always just does very good. Always does very good. I can't get the game log for some reason pull up, but if anybody can, that'd be great. But overall, Lillard, he always takes it personal, especially when he, you know, this is his hometown team. They're always playing against him. He knows people from Oakland are watching him, you know. So, I mean, it's in Portland, but at the same time, he just balls out. I think Nurkic is another good center player in this game, and it sucks because I'm naming him all these centers, but he's a GPP cash game. Kind of crazy, but the Golden State Warriors allow 55.8 points per game against centers, so I thought Cousin would be better, but I guess I don't know how much that improves. But on a back-to-back for the Warriors, I don't think they're going to be very, especially against the Jazz, who are very physical and they tire teams out, if they're going to be at their best, you know, maybe they'd rest one player or so. But overall, I mean, I'm looking at Nurkic. Stephen Curry, 9,100. I don't mind him in this game. I always play players that are playing point guard and shooting guard against the Blazers, McCollum and Damian Lillard. If I'm correct, Klay Thompson has a history against this team, right?
Yeah.
Always does very well. So this is going to be an Asante play of the day. This is a Klay day, guys.
That's our new segment, the Asante play of the day.
Yeah.
But it's always Klay Thompson. It's always Klay. It doesn't matter.
Maxi Kleber.
Just an inside scene. If nobody knows, we always mention Asante. Asante is the one guy in our chat row that always mentioned the most randomest play, and we all just look at him like a bird chirp. And but then next thing we know, a couple hours later, I told you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Guys. Somehow he's always right.
But Durant at 9,900 does interest me. But I don't, like I said, I don't know how much I'm under target of this game. I think if Green gets, like, he had a right knee contusion. I don't know if he played today. Did they say he's going to start? Is he playing?
Still saying GTD on my screen.
Okay.
So I have playing.
Okay. So if he plays and the next thing you know, his knee contusions are either like bruises, it swelled up, and he's out tomorrow, then what's his name? Looney is going to be interesting because they'll just slide over a Cousin to power forward or something, or Durant to power forward. I don't know what they'll do, but
Basically, Gerson
is out tomorrow, by the way.
I think you want a team to have all centers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to draft.com and put five centers in there.
There you go. Yeah, it says Livingston and Cousins will both sit Wednesday.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so if they're sitting, obviously, you know, the MVP, Livingston sitting, you got to put, no, I'm kidding. if Cousins sitting, then obviously we're going to have a more exposure to Kevin Durant, 9,900, and then Nurkic should have a huge game against this team. I mean, he is expensive, though. Not cheap, 8,400. But I'm not really targeting anything else in this game. I don't really see a good value play. I mean, Kevin Looney, 3,900, probably. But again, I'm naming another center. So, you know. But
yeah. My it's top Klay target. And it's Damian Lillard, in my opinion. Yeah. Those are my two favorite plays. Yeah. And now probably Durant.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it. If Cousins out, then I definitely like Damian Lillard because he attacks the basket, and that basket's going to be open all night. So.
All right, good stuff. We got through 11 games. We're going to skip the last two segments here, the this and that and the half-court shocks. I know Gerson wants to go get set up and watch this this Utah and Golden State Warrior game. So with that said, for Tim, for Gerson, I'm Jeff. We're signing out. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Everyone have a good night. Peace.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
Go, Jazz, go. Go, Jazz, go.
I was waiting for it.